Thank you. Good morning. We are calling to order the September 22nd variance hearing. I am your hearing officer and acting zoning administrator, Scott Sanchez. I'm here this morning with the executive secretary for the variance calendar, Eva Atahera-Taylor, and would like to begin with going over some general information about the variance hearing and variance process. First, in regards to order of presentation, the applicant and or owner should be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on top of 5 findings of the variance requirement are met. I'll go over more in a minute on the 5 findings. After that, any proponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Any opponents will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If there is any testimony in opposition, then the applicant and or owners will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. During this time, we may ask questions of the project sponsor, members of the public, and at the end of the hearing, we may close the public hearing and make a decision. We may take the matter under advisement. We may continue the item to a future hearing date to allow additional research to be performed. On the calendar, you'll see consent items. There are 2 items on the consent calendar today. These are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. And if you'd like to speak on one of these items, please come forward. When we call consent items, we will pull it off consent and have a full hearing on the item. But please keep in mind, if you don't have anything to say about it or if you're in support of the project, it would otherwise be approved. So keep that in mind for the consent items. There will be public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the calendar today. So now going over the criteria for justifying a variance. Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding then, number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and will not adversely affect the general plan. After the hearing and after a decision is rendered, a decision letter will be issued. Due to the number of variances, it may take up to 2 months for a variance decision letter to be issued. Please note that a decision is not final until the decision letter is issued. And if you would like to get a copy of the decision letter, there's a sign-in sheet off to the side. There's one for each case. If you're speaking on a case, please write your name there so we have that for the record. And if you would like a copy of the decision letter, please check that as well. That is very important for the appeal process because the variance decision letter, once it is issued, has a 10-day appeal period. So whether it is granted or denied, there's a 10-day appeal period, and that is to the Board of Appeals. Some other matters, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing, so if you have to have any sensitive conversation, please take that outside, and please turn off any noise-making devices or phones. And that is also to note to, for the consent
item. You haven't explained about the sponsor's time. And
The project sponsor has 5 minutes to speak and preparing their, presenting their cases, and rebuttal would have 3 minutes.
Okay, we'll start with the consent calendar. We have 2 items. Case number 2010.0516B, 2695 Sacramento Street. Item number 2, case number 2010.0164V, 74 Macondry Street, also known as 975 to 979 Union Street.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public here today to speak on case number 2010.0516B, the variance for 2695 Sacramento Street? Anyone who would be speaking in opposition to this variance request? See none. And In regards to case number 2010.0164V for 74 McCondry Street, also known as 975 to 979 Union Street, are there any members of the public here to speak in opposition to this variance? Seeing none, with that, I would grant both of these variance requests with the subject to standard conditions, and then we'll move on to our regular calendar for item number three.
Regular calendar item number three, case number 2010.0454V, 64 Pierce Street. Is the sponsor here, please? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
I'm the owner of the residence. My sponsor is not here yet. The architect is going to speak today on our behalf. But
if you are comfortable presenting the case, you may do so. However, we can hold the item over and go on to the next case and come back to this. And
I prefer that if we can't wait.
So we'll hold on item number three, and we'll move on to item number four, and we'll come back to this.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to item number...
This is
2695.
I was supposed to turn in the declaration of
posting
here at the hearing.
Oh,
yes.
Do that, and then we're all set to go.
Yes. Thank you. Moving on to item number four, case number 2010.0560V, 4020 Folsom Street. Is the sponsor here, please? Sponsor for 4020 Folsom Street.
Is there anyone here to speak on 4020 Folsom Street? And then we have a couple members of the public. And if you'd like to come forward just briefly and at least express your concerns about the project, even though the project sponsor for 4020 Folsom Street is not here to argue their variance.
I live at 4004 Folsom Street, which is right next to 4020 Folsom Street. I have submitted letters indicating why I oppose this deck that has been in existence. I've lived there for 33 years, and for the last 3 years, this deck is right smack next to my bedroom. And I have health issues, and the smoking and other things the noise has been very detrimental to my health. Besides the constant harassment, and because their deck looks right onto my bed, I have no privacy whatsoever. My bedroom window, it can see me right on my bed, and I spend 85% of my time in my bed because I am disabled. So, I don't know if anyone in this courtroom would like someone to be watching them in their bed constantly, but that's what happens. Their friends, their neighbors, everybody that comes to visit them see me in my bed. So, I really feel like this deck needs to either be removed or go all the way back so that I have some semblance of privacy, which I think every human being deserves in their bedroom. That my health is endangered by their cigarette smoking. I have Stephen Johnson's disease, and it's not a question of not liking the smell of smoke. It endangers my life. I have to use an inhaler now. I have an air purifier, and at any time my lungs can just shut down, and it could be fatal for me. So I've submitted a medical letter and statements, addressing that. I have asked them several times. I approached the community boards to speak to them regarding the smoking. They refused to attend any kind of arbitration. So, in fact, it has worsened. They now, and my daughter and family members will testify, they're like just a few feet from my bedroom window. They smoke and leave the ashtray right next to my window. So, it has become a very, very contentious situation. And life threatening. So yes, I oppose this. And also, it cuts half my light that I've had for 33 years.
Thank you for coming and testifying. And so, it's based on your testimony, you have been in conversation with the project sponsors. They have refused to meet and arbitrate through the community boards?
Yes.
And have you had any indication from them that they did not intend to show at today's variance hearing?
I have had no communication. I try not to communicate with them because I'm frightened. From her window, she screams at me, and I'm sick. I can't, if I shut the window, I have no light. If I open the window when it's hot, cigarette smoke comes in. So I'm really, I feel like I'm just being crucified with this situation. So I've lived there for 33 years, and now for the last 3 years, last year I went to the hospital 7 times, I had 3 major surgeries. I cannot, as my doctor indicated in the letter, this is not just a question of me not liking cigarette smoke. It's a question of my health. And the harassment, the constant, the noise, talking on the cell phone until 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like they're right in my bedroom because the deck is right smack next to my bedroom window.
Thank you. So I'll make one last call for the project sponsor for 4020 Folsom Street. Is the project sponsor or owner for 4020 Folsom Street here today to testify on this variance? And I'm aware of no communication from the project sponsor that they could not make this date. So with that, I would be inclined to deny the request of variance, and we would issue a variance decision letter to that effect. The project sponsor would be able to appeal that to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of issuing the decision letter. Thank you.
The sponsor is here already for 64 Pierce Street.
Okay.
So we'll move back to item number 3, case number 2010.0454V, 64 Pierce Street. The sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sven Levine, and I'm the architect. And so is there an overhead, or we need that?
If you need to use it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessary or not.
Okay.
So basically, we're requesting a variance for 2 things. And it's a rear yard variance, single-family house, and the first thing we're requesting a variance for is a second-story bay window, which would encroach into the required rear yard. And then the second thing is just that the staircase would encroach into the rear yard. And those are really the 2 things that we're requesting variance for. Can we have the overhead?
Sure, it's on, sir. Okay. All you have to do is put in your...
Okay, where's the screen?
Oh,
it's right there to your left.
Okay. There we go. So I think this rendering kind of shows the existing condition pretty well. There's some photographs, but it's really tough to see what's going on. And so we have an existing deck. And then there's also an existing non-conforming bay window here. The reason it's non-conforming is it's too close to the edge of the property line. And then this rendering is our proposal. And so the proposal is for this bay window here, which is going to encroach just 3 feet into the required rear yard. And then we are closing the, basically keeping the same dimension, the same depth as the deck, closing the area under the deck. But because, if I go back to the existing condition, in the existing condition, the staircase works because you can discharge right next to the window and come down the stairway to the rear yard, and this staircase is not encroaching. But with our proposed bay window here basically pushes the staircase out enough so that it basically needs to approach by about 2 feet to work. But we feel it's such a minor impact that the only people that are going to see this approaching staircase are going to be the people that are living there. You know, it's kind of this lower section that's encroaching, and that's all hidden behind fences and that sort of thing. So we think that the impacts are minor enough that
it's kind of a small variance that we're requesting. And I guess that's it. That's my presentation.
I have a few questions and observations.
Sure.
By understanding that the building is a historic resource, it's also set back substantially from the front property line, approximately 19 feet.
That's right.
And so, therefore, expansion at the front is not really feasible given the preservation concerns.
Exactly, yeah.
And that the expansion here at the rear would otherwise fit within the 12-foot pop-out allowance of the planning code, which
it does.
Is a permitted obstruction, but the bay window is needed to add a modernize the kitchen to expand the
kitchen. Exactly, yeah, to increase the kitchen to the size that their neighbors enjoy their kitchens.
And it's currently out to neighborhood identification under section 311?
It is, yeah.
And have you received any comments from
neighbors? We have.
Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? I see no public comment. Oh, would you like to come forward?
This is from 74 Montgomery.
Okay,
I forgot to submit
the public That's okay, thank you. So I see no public comment for this item for the variance for 64 Pierce Street. With that, I would close the public hearing and indicate that we decline to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions and would move on to the next item.
Okay, item number 5.
And just noting that we are moving on to item number 5, we have already called item number 4.
Item number 5, case number 2010.0586B, 471 29th Street. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Morning. This project is requesting a variance to legalize the as-built condition of a long existing rear yard cottage at the subject address. The building in question was erected legally in July 1906 under building permit 1371. Water is shown to be run to the building in 1908. And the building on Sandborn maps has been indicated as a dwelling since at least 1917. At some point, it appears that addition was made to this building, although there are no building department records showing this. However, this addition includes the current kitchen, bathroom areas. So if this addition were to be removed, it would cease to function as a residence. Additionally, there are many, many other rear yard residences on this block and in this neighborhood. I count at least 10 on this existing block. The current property owners purchased this building in 2008. They made no since modifications to the building size or configuration. As this building's existed in its current configuration for approximately a century, the altar diminished this. To bring it into conformance with planning code would cause it to cease to function as a dwelling unit. It is a legal dwelling unit. It does have its own 3R report. This variance, again, proposes no such expansion or enlargement of the unit, merely to just legalize the way it has been for many, many years. So we don't feel that it'll have any negative impact on the neighborhood, any impact whatsoever on the neighbors, and it will also help preserve San Francisco housing stock, which I know is a priority for the department. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. And so, noting that it is a legalization of an as-built condition, but this is something that is being done, that I understand, voluntarily as part of the process to go through the condominium
counter-conversion
process.
Yes.
And so, bringing the property fully into conformity with the required permits. And that it is an existing dwelling unit, and we have permit history going back to 100 years for the building at the rear. And it's a matter of legalizing a site expansion of the property. So with that, is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this item? And seeing none, we'd close public comment and would also close the public hearing and indicate that we'd be inclined to grant the requested variance subject to standard conditions. And it's my understanding that the sponsor for item number 4 has just arrived and they were told to come at 10 a.m. So I'd like to come forward and please discuss.
Having a little
freak out right now. Our architect told us...
Please be with them. Okay.
Our architect told us that we would probably not be here till 10, so I was volunteering at our son's school, and we just got here. He's going to be here at 10 o'clock as well.
Sorry, the public hearing is noticed for 9:30 a.m., and it can happen at any time thereafter. The neighbors who were in opposition to the project have already been here, and we did have public hearing on the item already, and we denied the requested variance because there was no one here. That decision can be appealed to the Board of Appeals. So once the variance decision letter is issued, I would suggest that you appeal that to the Board of Appeals, and they can hear that item.
So it's, I can't speak, I can't say why we want to keep our deck?
We've already closed the public hearing, I'm sorry, and the members of the public who were here on time have already left. Sorry. Can we move on to the next item, please?
Okay. Item number 6, case number 2010.0444V, 1734 Newcomb Street. Is the sponsor here?
Good morning.
Morning. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. We have two variants, a reason two. One is we ask for a parking variance because we added, we proposed to add an in-law unit on the first level, and that residents there parking on the public street. We have pictures of the public street. I think we got one that was sent by the planner.
Put him on the...
The house in question is 5305, that's the lot. That's a lot. And you can see the street out there, parallel parking, there's plenty of parking, free parking space for anyone to park. And the reason we can't park inside the garage, we limit the space. We have no space for it. And so that's the parking. And the second one, it includes the rear yard. Although we're not, the house is over 100 years old, and we're not extending the house beyond its borders. What we're doing is have a parlor. All we're doing is taking a structure, kept parlor sits, I don't have no pictures of it, and it's parallel. We're not taking anything away from the yard whatsoever. So our intent is to just increase that, have room for the in-law unit. And in that, we have future employment for the neighborhood. That's possible. And then it helps the city out. So that's the rear yard. So are there any questions?
No, I think it's pretty clear. I did have some questions at least about the plans. And I think the plans show the deck as existing, but photographs show that there is no deck. So if you just describe, this is the deck next to the parlor. Describe the situation.
Like I said, the house is over 100 years old. The deck, cave when one rains, it's hazardous, so it would be moved. However, I got some new set of plans here, and I was asked to bring it to show. I have it here now.
Okay, if you could please, if you could be able to put that on the
open. Okay, and it shows that it would be considered a new deck, because it's the old one, the cave.
And then the proposed expansion would not extend any further than the existing parlor wall at the back.
Correct.
And this is needed to allow enough room on the ground floor for a functional dwelling unit. So if you could put that on the overhead, which is on the other side, and maybe typical method to fold it down.
Work. So this page here, it just said new deck.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay. And so the existing rear building wall matches the adjacent property, is in line with that adjacent property?
Yes. And they also have a parlor too, which I took some pictures at the end of our parlor. We had a structure there, and we took a picture from the column straight. Let's see, it's beautiful.
And will part of, I noticed the condition of the parlor is it's deteriorated. Will that be replaced entirely as well?
It's going to be, the structure is going to be reinforced, yes.
And then what is the parlor used for? It just, I guess that's a separate
word. Back 100 years ago, parlors was used for various things. Let's have tea, we have blinds, the parlor with sun. It's faced the east, so drink tea.
Thank you.
Okay. This picture here was taken, and it shows that the structure to the south of the property is, you know, you can imagine that, it looked like 3 feet to me. But our new deck will not extend, but ours will be parallel to the parlor. We do not take nothing away from the yard. But the yard is short anyway, and it's been short for. We can guess how long it's been short, but the house is 1907, approximately.
And so, the building as it was originally constructed didn't really intend to have parking in it either. And you do already provide one parking space for the dwelling unit, but it would be almost impossible to add another dwelling unit and have the required parking. And you also need an exposure variance, which is required because the rear yard is not code complying. Yet there will be, that lower unit will look out onto that rear yard and will have access to that rear yard. Well, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? Seeing none, I would close the public hearing and with the intention of granting the requested variance subject to standard conditions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, we have some pictures.
Oh, yes, yeah. Please submit those. Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. What property is this?
Sorry,
479. Sorry, 479.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. So we're number 6. Okay. Item number 7. Okay, moving to item number 7, case number 2010.0639V, 2204 Spiner Street. Are you the sponsor, sir?
I am.
Please approach the mic.
Thank you.
You have 5 minutes.
Hello? My name is Stefan Edda. I'm representing Gina Michelle Chung, the owner of the property. I'm receiving a variance for a small encroachment into the backyard of 2204 Spiner Street. The building is a historic building, and it's part of a historic triptych along Steiner Street. This is it. And the owner doesn't want to touch the historic front of the building, so any expansion would have to happen in the backyard. The addition is fairly small in scale, given the overall footprint of the house. So outlined in blue here is the existing structure. And the addition would be a downward infill of an existing bay window in the back and a small encroachment.
Can you close to the mic?
So it's a fairly small addition to the building. It's 164 square feet. And we're taking over, it's a downward infill of an existing bay window in the back, and we're extending about 5 feet out. To the south, we're still leaving 5.5 feet to the property line on the south. So we're not going all the way down to the property line. Well, We'll also use this opportunity to bring the building itself more into character with the existing building. A former addition, which you see on the left, is an existing pop-out that doesn't look very Victorian, not in keeping with the character. So we're proposing to match the character of the front of the building. And we have approached the neighbors, and they're all in favor of the project, and if they're stating that.
Okay. So just a few notes that I had. The building is considered a historic resource, as you noted, and there is a neighborhood pattern there, as you showed from the photograph of the facade. It's also set back substantially from the front property line, which would make it a really practical difficulty. If you were to try to expand at the front, it would be difficult to do that without having a negative impact on the historic resource.
Sure.
Also, while you do have a side setback and could build within the buildable area closer to the front, the preservation staff has indicated that that is also part of the historic resource, part of the character-defining feature of the building, so that would have a negative impact as well. So, thank you. And is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we've closed the public hearing, but not indicate that we inclined to grant the requested variance subject to same resolutions.
Great, thank you.
Moving to item number 8. Case number 2010.0547V, 3319 to 3321 Octavia Street. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello. We are submitting a variance for the rear yard setback. We're proposing to build a second story deck onto the rear of the house. As you can see here, currently, the house is actually a multi-family house, the first floor being, the ground level floor being a in-law unit, which is shown here. And the homeowners actually live on the second and third floor. They do not currently have any access to the rear of their property. Unfortunately, I don't have any photos of the rear property with me. They were submitted. So the intent is just to build out to the encroaching on the last 20 feet of the property line, but building out flush with the adjacent neighbor property. There is no windows or anything on the actual neighbor's property. We're trying to give the homeowners access to their backyard and some actual deck space at their level. That's pretty much it. So we're looking just at the variance for that.
And there's no other usable open space, there's no roof deck on the property as well. It's really limited to the rear yard.
It's really limited just to that little space in the backyard.
And do you have floor plans of the ground floor so we can view the current access to the rear yard from there?
So this is actually the ground floor level. You can see that the lower unit has access to their unit through here. The only access that the upper unit has is through the downstairs here, and the only way to the backyard is actually through the unit.
And have you looked at other alternatives at providing access from the upper level to the rear yard that might have less of an impact, say, you know, just a simple landing and stairs?
Yeah, the homeowners were looking to get more usable space where they can actually keep their kids outside, but not necessarily down where they can't see them. If we do that, I mean, we pretty much have to just do a staircase down the back, and there's no accessible space to them.
And so this is to allow usable open space at the same level as the dwelling unit?
Correct, yes.
And could we see the floor plan of the upper unit, please? So it is the deck would be off of the family room.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public here to speak on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item and take this matter under advisement and would make a decision at a future time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2010.0559V, 369 Cumberland Street. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is John Nassioff. I'm the project sponsor, architect for the project sponsor. Subject property is a single-family residence in RH1 zone within the Lowerside Special Use District, and we're requesting the issuance of a variance to allow for a 3-foot 10-inch horizontal addition at one level in the rear yard with the following comments. The subject property is exceptionally sited. The upsloping lot pushes the placement of the house and all the houses on the block to a position that starts over 20 feet off the front property line. As a property that sits within the Lowerside Special Use District, the typical RH1 25% rear yard setback is increased to 45%. And these two factors combined create a significantly reduced buildable area by comparison to a typical Lowerside Special Use District property. The proposed one-story addition in the rear at the southwestern edge extends on one side of the property. It doesn't extend past the subject property's existing southeastern volume and doesn't extend beyond the neighbor's property line wall. All these factors result in a minor addition, which is not visible from any vantage point. We've had extensive discussions with the neighbors, and all the neighbors are in support of this project, and the discrete massing, the addition to the massing that we're looking for.
Could you please elaborate on the exceptional circumstances again about the upsloping lot and any sections that would detail the...
The sections are within the drawing set, as are the site photos, but the entire street line sits with houses nearly, I want to say, 15 feet vertically separated from the street and set back 22 feet from the front property line. That's a consistent street line up and down Cumberland Street on this side. And so that's pushed the entire mass back to the point where the buildable area is really compressed between the typical 45% rear yard setback within special use districts for tourist heights.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any members of the public here to speak on this item? Seeing none, I would close the public hearing on this item and would take this matter under advisement and make a decision at a later date, and we would issue a various decision letter after that.
Thank you.
Last item in the calendar, item number 10, case number 2010.0594V, 2012 Castro Street. Is the sponsor here, please? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, Chairman Paul for the project sponsor. We made a request to continue this to next hearing. We've had some recent communications in the department from neighbors that was unexpected, and we would like to have some opportunity to do some more outreach and to invite the neighbors to the site so they can see what's been done and what the situation that we're dealing with is.
I believe that there's members of the public here that would like to speak on this item, so let's conduct the public hearing, take all the public testimony, and if needed, we can continue the item to a later date and keep the public hearing open. But I think given that members of the public have shut up today.
I have no problem with hearing, getting them on the record with anything they have to say.
And then,
I'd like the opportunity to bring people to the site.
Okay. We'll see how it goes. We could start with your presentation regarding the justifications for the variance.
The site of 2012 Castro is steeply sloping in two directions. The design of the house did not really accommodate any common open space that is accessible from the main living areas of the building. The rear yard is sunken well below street level and below adjacent grade, such that it is dark and shadowed and fairly inaccessible to the main living levels of the house. There is a small deck off of the upstairs bedroom and study. It is both small and it's through private living space. It's not really appropriate for common use. The house was undergoing a substantial renovation and remodel. The project sponsor is a very busy single doctor and surgeon with a very busy schedule. He entrusted his remodel to someone he thought was a licensed architect and contractor, who was turned out to have been neither. And when he was told that he could go ahead and put a deck in for him, he simply accepted that he was doing it properly and doing it legally. So he, in the course of this major renovation, added this comparatively very small deck without getting proper permits for it. His adjacent neighbor observed this and informed the district building inspector, who cited it. It's never Dr. Houck's intention to build something without permit or to violate the privacy of his neighbor or the terms of their condo association. But that's how it happens, as sometimes it does, and pleased that we have a process available that will allow us to treat this fairly, regardless of how the structure that's there now got built. As far as the basic findings necessary for granting of a variance, the hardship clearly does exist. In the this particular block, as well as surrounding blocks, rear decks off of main living levels predominate on the sloping portions of this part of the Lily Valley. There, in this particular site, there's really no other way to get common usable open space accessible other than a small deck. We've been very conservative in the size and the location. We've held away from the side property line, which is dominated on the uphill side by a larger structure that projects much further into the rear yard that sort of looms over this site. So the structure we're trying to legalize here is not a big deck. It's not large enough for a party. It's large enough for a 4-foot diameter table and maybe 4 chairs. This is not going to be a large party area. I don't think it's going to be intrusive to the adjacent neighbors. And hopefully through a process of discussions on site with them, we could discuss possible screening solutions as there are no handrails or guardrails built at this point. We'd certainly be amenable to providing many different solutions as far as screening to protect any privacy that people fear might be impinged upon.
Thank you. And I would note that, yes, the lot is definitely substandard in its dimensions. However, the rear yard, and I understand it's a small, approximately 19-foot rear yard, it seems relatively usable, given that there is a change, quite a distinct topography here. There is an existing concrete stairs that lead up to a pad, and previously there was a small deck and stairs that provided access to the rear yard from that main living level. And so why was there a need to expand that?
It was much more in the way of a landing. It wasn't ever something that would have any real recreational use, some kind of a gathering point of any sort. This is directly adjacent to the kitchen, so it would be a very appropriate place to have a small table for dining purposes outdoors on those rare opportunities. The fog is not in the evening. But the larger open space that exists is sort of in a pit. It has, we have slopes in two directions there, coming from west to east and from south to north. So it's sort of hemmed in, and drainage is focused there, so it's often wet and dark.
I, based on the photos, and I believe the project planner went out to the site and has taken a look at this project, it seems that this is actually a fairly prominent location, and it's hard for me to really see it as a pit. Based upon how it's been described to me, do you have some photographs that better illustrate that point?
I did not bring photographs today. When I spoke with the project planner, he suggested that I would not be making a presentation today, that we'd simply be confirming a hearing date. So I didn't come prepared to do that today.
Okay. Fair enough. And also indicated that the usable open space at the ground level, the access to the rear yard is through the bedroom, so it's not through common. The access to the rear yard at the
no,
at the lower level is through.
Oh, at the lowest level is through the bedroom. Yes.
And so that this provides improved access from common.
Yes, it does. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
But there is a deck at the upper level. I think it's the second floor on the plans.
It is currently used as a study, but I believe it was originally designed as a bedroom.
But so it is currently a kind of a public area, and one could walk through the office to get to.
But as you see from the plan, it's hardly a generous deck. It's not really a. It may not even meet the standards of the dimensions that you require for calculating open space.
Okay. Thank you, and we'll acknowledge that. Yes, I think there was some indication that the item would be continued, and as I said, beginning of this, I'm amenable to that. However, given that members of the public did come, I would like to have the hearing so they can have their testimony on the record.
Entirely appropriate. Thank you, sir.
Anyone who would like to speak on this matter?
Thank you, Mr. Paul. My name is Rachel Rassen.
You have a few minutes, ma'am.
You have 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
My name is Rachel Rassen. I am the homeowner at 2010 Castro Street. This is a homeowners association with 50-50 division of labor, more or less. Last fall, spring, Dr. Hoke and I had coffee for 20 minutes, during which he described his planned renovations to the house that included a deck coming off the back kitchen. And I said, why are you wanting to do that? There is fog in the morning. There are extreme gusts in the afternoon. His deck, which he misled me to believe in terms of his dimension. Also, he wanted to put in a glass railing. And again, with the gusts coming in the afternoon, I think this is very inappropriate. I do have some pictures of the deck that, as it currently stands, it is an imposing structure. This is taken from my base level, my garage. Second picture, again, imposing structure. This is taken from my kitchen window. And there is a 2-foot elevation difference between Dr. Hope's house and my house. So you can see it rises above everything else. Third picture I have is taken from my bedroom window. This deck is immediately below my bedroom. You put a glass railing around it, it will become an echo chamber right under my bedroom window. And you were asking about the pit and what it might look like and when it's wet. This is what Mr. Paul was talking about with the deck on top of it. The deck as it currently stands extrudes out and creates that pit. The previous owner had done a lot of landscaping and put in a pool, and it was substantially nice. Want to also add that Dan Doyle, the contractor, is a C5 contractor, which allows him to do planning, cabinetry, and construction on cabinetry. This is not a general manager, and he was brought in as the general manager. Did he not know about
decorates? I'll just wrap up that final thought.
He knew about decorates.
Thank you. I have a few questions.
Sure.
And I think I may know the answers from your testimony, but would screening of that deck ameliorate your concerns in any way?
Screening how?
Through the required railing, or it could even be made higher than what is required.
If you turn it into an echo chamber, that would be immediately below my
head. And if the deck were to be reduced in size, similar to what was there previously.
That was perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
And within proportion to the dimensions of the lot.
Okay, thank you. Next, please.
My name is Paula Pagano, and I'm representing myself and the other neighborhoods in the... we're not an association, but all these are not houses. They are townhouses, condos, and they all are on substandard lots, okay? We all have small postcard backyards. They are usable, but they're small. We also have an association called the Duncan Newberg Association, and I find it very disrespectful that none of us were informed on this deck. I was away for the summer renting another house and came back, and I heard people working out in the back, and it was very loud and very, you know, and then we're in a very small, it's like an L. And just the people working in the back with normal voices talking was very loud. This noise pollution is going to affect all of us. And to put up a screen with all the wind and everything, I think is a very bad idea. I think the gust of wind, for one thing, I think it's a safety issue, could come along and just, you know, smash one of those windows or the walls. We, as the association, we are not for this current deck has to be taken down. We are not gonna, we will petition. We are angry. It's a huge deck. It is completely out of proportion. They were completely disrespectful to not even go to us. And we are very, very upset. We have photos, if you want me to share those with you.
Yes, please do, if you'd like to put them on the overhead. Sorry, the other side.
Okay, this is seen from one of the other condos that are close by, and it's very... very obtrusive, very, I would say that it is, they said, I would say it's very intrusive. They said it's not going to be intrusive. It's very intrusive to all of us. And there's eight of us. There's two on Castro and six condos on Duncan. Here's some more pictures. And I wish I had a plot map, too, but I did bring it with me to show how small those lots are.
So that is time, but if you'd like to finish up that okay. Last thought and anything to communicate in one more photograph.
Well, the color's wrong, but you get an idea.
you'll get an idea. This is several doors down at 613 Duncan, my neighbor. So again, it's going to be, there's eight of these townhouses, seven of these townhouses, all of us are opposing it, are going to be affected negatively.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else here to speak on the side, either in support or in opposition?
I'd like to say a couple of things.
Yes?
My name is Brian Huffman, the owner of the property question. Jeremy, I think, has expressed much of what I feel. I agree. This was my first remodel, and I did a lot of things the wrong way. I put the horse before the cart. I didn't realize all the problems I should have, of what I had to go through, but I found out quite quickly. I did try my best beforehand to talk to Rachel about it, and she didn't express exactly what she said about why would I want to build one. But apart from that, I described, I didn't have a drawing, but I described to her it was going out to my window and as far up to the steps, and I never had one, not one question was asked of me that day, not one, let alone a complaint. And then it was built for a month, and then I hear a complaint after one whole month of it, her obviously being able to visualize it, which didn't make sense to me. But anyway, I did do that in good faith, and I found out after the fact too that in our, we only have two units for an HOA that had to be in writing, which I did not do. But since months had passed after I'd actually told her about it and that I even built it, and another month had passed and there was no objection, I just assumed that was she was fine with her since it was exactly the same size as I told her. My next door neighbor on the other side of the pictures, I don't have them here, I didn't think I was supposed to bring anything like that. My direct next door neighbor on the other side has written a letter, in fact, saying she is for the deck. In fact, she thinks it's quite lovely, and they have much more of a view of it than Rachel does. It is not directly below Rachel's bedroom, it is beside Rachel's bedroom. Our units are parallel, not above each other, and so that's the main thing. But I thought, quite a modest in scope. It does not intrude in a bunch of neighbors. Paula can now even see my deck from her house. The people beside that have a deck themselves. The people beside them have a deck themselves. And I, talking about the cave aspect, it is so dark on that ground floor, which is the only usable space before this deck was put in. You couldn't really do anything there. It was just never any sunlight. It was freezing cold down there. And the little platform that was there before, it was literally just a landing to get access to a metal staircase to go down into my garden. It wasn't some other beautiful deck or of any sort. But like I said, I really tried to be modest in scope and have it a beautiful thing. And I'm not a noisy person, like Jeremy said. All I want would be a table and a little barbecue. I don't have loud parties. I'm not that kind of guy. And it's just been, and with the other neighbor, who, like I said, their big picture window looks right directly down at that deck a lot more. Rachel would have to crane out her window and look to the left to see that deck, because we're both looking due west at the Twin Peaks. She's looking that way, I'm looking that way. Doesn't really affect her. The other neighbor said they liked it, so.
Would you be willing to voluntarily reduce the size of the deck?
If I had to, I guess I have to. I'll defer that to Jeremy, I guess.
Mr. Paul?
We have discussed it in general and not in specific, but I believe that there are several ways that this can be modified that could potentially improve or minimize whatever impacts are perceived from downslope. There's clearly work to be done. Might make one further comment. In terms of the screening options that we have, we're very sensitive to Ms. Rass's concern about sound. A planted screen tends to be a very sound absorptive and visually obstructive screen, and that's the kind of thing we've been talking about.
Thank you. We don't have rebuttal, but I have a question for you if you'd like to come forward. So I'd ask this to the other member of the public before. Would you be willing to accept a reduced size deck and if you have other items, other things you'd like to comment on?
Yes, we would. We'd like to approve it. We work, like I said, we're a very cooperative neighborhood association, and we want to make everybody happy if we can. The other comment I wanted to make was the person that lives next to him is on a double lot, and it is a house, and they've requested several variances as well, and they have built out, so that's why they're probably in agreement. While we're on these substandard lots with very small yards, it's a completely different ball game. And yes, I can see his deck from my yard.
Thank you for clarifying. So now, in fairness to the project sponsor, like a brief rebuttal to wrap up any of the testimony here? And seeing none, sorry, I've exhausted the public comment on this. And I do have some concerns about the size of the deck and would like the project sponsor to work with the neighbors to come to some resolution here and would therefore continue this item, keeping the public hearing open to a future calendar. And I believe we have the November calendar available. And so what's the date on that, Ava?
November 17th.
So we would be continuing this item to the November 17th variance hearing, keeping the public hearing open. And in the meantime, would instruct the project sponsor to work with the adjacent neighbors to come to a resolution. And Mr. Paul, do you have a question?
Just a quick comment to put on the record that the current condition of the deck is not in a safe condition. There is no protective railing there at all. The house renovation has been completed, and Dr. Huck has moved back in. So we have spoken with the building department about putting a temporary protective structure there. And I just wanted to clarify for our neighbors that this anything that goes on there is not going to be of a permanent nature. So it's just going to be.
I would defer to the Department of Building Inspection about the appropriate methods for securing the site, and would note and ask if there are other methods other than putting up a temporary railing. Perhaps if there's a way to close off that door that may have fire exiting issues with the building department, but would defer to the building department about the appropriate way to secure
that. It's going to be the minimum possible. We're not trying to build something and make it a fact.
And I would strongly encourage you not to, because whatever you build definitely may be temporary.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, we'll continue this November 17th and look forward to coming back to this hearing in the future. Thank you. And that is the last item on the calendar today. So with that, we will have a general public comment now. If there is anyone here who would like to speak on a general item, not an item that was calendared on today's variance hearing, that is available. I see no members of the public would like to speak at public comment. This September 22nd, 2010 variance hearing is now adjourned. Thank you.